Blog Talk Radio.
Fish, and it's the answer to the most important questions. Doesn't mean everything's going to be in there, but the main things like where it is we come from, where are we going when we die, and like is there life after death, and things like that. You're listening to me, Melissa Cantrilla, on Truth Be Told Radio, and what I'm going to do for you now is play a song. This one is from Cheyenne. This one's called Faithful God here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Shadows and types to point ahead to a future deliverance.
fudge. Yeah. You're faithful to save and you're faithful to judge. The God who is just is not one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself. Yeah.
Okay, the guys at Lutheran Satire are really starting to get funny and very, very helpful. Yes.
I, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. And Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. And he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible, probably because he isn't.
I can so change the brakes myself.
Let's see here. How do I do?
There's nothing to it.
Ow! Oh!
Hi, Daddy. What you doing?
I'm fixing the brakes on Mommy's car.
What are brakes?
Well, they...
Why do they need fixed? Can I drive Mommy's car when I'm big?
Yeah.
Daddy, can I help?
We have questions all throughout our lives. But as we get older, they become more difficult to answer. Why do we see so much death and suffering if there's a loving God? Is interracial marriage biblical? And did God use evolution to create? To find answers to these questions and many others, go to AnswersRadio.com.
Daddy, you look great, Daddy.
Can you ask your mommy to bring me a Band-Aid?
This has been a message from Answers in Genesis at AnswersRadio.com.
Yeah.
that was before the throne of God. That's go fishing it. And before that, we had fruit of the Spirit. And now I'm going to play something. This is from Wretched TV show. It's the audio, but it says, "Is Jesus a myth?" Oh, wait. No, that's the wrong one. Sorry. It's the one John MacArthur talks about, Duck Dynasty. Here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Issue number one, you may recall, Dr. MacArthur, from the Strange Fire Conference, I encouraged you to host next the Strange Water Conference. Right? I trust you're still trying to work out the dates with R.C. Sproul to get that figured out. But in the meantime... see if he sends a video to that one. I want to talk about Duck Dynasty. You haven't seen them. By the way, Duck Dynasty, I was in Walmart, and they actually have Duck Dynasty bath towels. They put somebody's big bearded face on a bath towel. Whose idea was that? Would anybody want to dry off with a Duck Dynasty? Okay. Duck Dynasty, they are a member of the Restoration Movement, the Church of Christ, in Louisiana, about a 13,000 church fellowship, which historically has taught different churches to varying degrees that baptism is required for salvation. Now, it is unclear if that is the theology of the Duck Dynasty fellows. I have seen their sermons where they've said, you need to repent, you need to believe, you need to confess, and you need to get into the water, and then your sins are forgiven. I've spoken to their fellow elder, Mike Kellett, who's a very nice guy, and I asked him the question, if I repented and put my trust in Jesus, and I was driving to your church to get baptized, and I died in a car accident, would I go to heaven? And he said, I leave that up to God. At the same time, he said, I don't believe that baptism is a work. So I think, as best I can tell, it's a little confused right now, but it seems to be pointing toward they believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. Considering how popular they are, is this an issue that a local pastor, a local church, needs to be addressing, dealing with in any way, shape, or form?
Let me just say to start with that all things being considered, there would be a better place to get your theology than Duck Dynasty. Just as a general principle. But if you are in the least unclear as to whether baptism is a necessary component of salvation, that's bad theology. The lack of clarity is bad theology. That is crystal clear, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and there is no work at all. Baptism is subsequent to salvation as a public declaration and confession. I know this. I've heard this. I've read this, and I know their denomination. You know, on the one hand, you're glad they talk about Christ. You're glad they pray and do those things. But this is a very serious problem. If someone believes that they're not converted until they get to the water and they're converted after they come out of the water, then they have an erroneous view of salvation.
Amen.
Is this a subject, though, that the local pastor needs to address in any way, shape, or form, particularly from the pulpit? Is it that big of a deal?
Well, I don't want to monopolize, but I would just say this. You need to tell your people, you can't get your theology from Duck Dynasty. Whatever you're getting is some kind of isolated, marginal, limited view of anything. You know, they talk about Jesus, but where's the Christology? They talk about salvation, but where's the soteriology? You don't even know. Now, the connection tells you something. So I just think you need to warn your people not to celebrate too much and not to draw their theology from that.
Is this an issue that puts them outside of Orthodox Christianity?
Well, it is if they have a wrong view of salvation.
It's the Galatian heresy. I mean, in the end, it's nothing. It's no different than what was going on in the churches in Galatia, in the sense that you're adding something, even something God commanded, to how a person is made right with God. And when you make that addition, you've crossed the line from orthodoxy into you know, Paul's strong statements there in Galatians 1.
You know, it is possible that someone could hear the gospel and be saved, genuinely regenerated and redeemed, and then have them tell that person that you're not saved until you get in the water. So you could actually have a truly converted people doing that, person doing that because they told them to do it. But if that's part of the necessity of their salvation, that's serious.
Here's Timothy Brindle. This one's called Humility, and it's off the Killing Sin Project.
Father in glorification, before worship of fine angels above, the Trinity within a perfect triangle of love, still with no one else, no need for others, cause God is self-sufficient, fulfilled within himself, and we can only guess the conversation, but the Son agreed to rescue those the Father gave him. And although this Lord should be worshipped, he volunteered to take upon the form of a servant. The Father commanded, yet asked him to come. So now let's examine the fashion it was done. Let me ask you if you seem confused with this. God passed through his own creature's uterus. I admit this is odd, yet the Bible can persuade me.
An omnipotent God crying as a baby?
No doctors around, no spot could be found to give birth to a child. The only option in town was to be born in a feeding trough with breeding cows and feces. How the scene was foul, it wasn't fancy but raunchy. How the Son of God was born next to camels and donkeys. What an awesome feat to drop so deep and cop the sheep. He then stepped down, he took a quantum leap. And I'm amazed how God, infinite in wealth, put aside his fame and limited himself to time and space and eyes and legs. He died to save a violent race whose sin would bring him hell.
And assumed that this could be, God became a man penetrating into human history. But he did it completely opposite.
Messiah didn't come in the honor of sire, but humbly wrought in some modest attire. So people missed it, to be specific, the legalistic thought the king would be the richest. And we know we like commodities, but the possessor of all riches chose a life of poverty. Wait, it's not the descendant of David, is this? Yes, and he's descended the greatest distance. He chilled with sinners and tax robbers, amongst his creatures who to him were grasshoppers. He dwelt with the lower class, lowly men, and those known as trash were his chosen kin. And the unbelieving Jews were sick of him. They said,
he runs with a team of stupid fishermen, and speaks to Samaritans and barbarians.
Pharisees stared at him with harsh arrogance. It shone when the Savior took notice of beggars, healed the blind and sick and those with lowest of wages. He even touched those with leprosy, which was seen as the most disgusting known infection, see? Wait, are you kidding me? Watch Jesus go low and watch Peter's souls. What great humility. See, the second person of the Trinity came down to rescue workers of iniquity. Checked his earthly ministry. He didn't make a bed. He had no place to lay his head. But he became bound to his own law. But we found no flaw. Was from a rugged town so raw. Slumbered and slept, hungered and wept and sweated. Plunged to our depths, the sum of our deaths pathetic. The humblest yet, the humblest death that's dreaded. The Son is our rest, come under him, get his credit.
No question that he's COD, but he laid aside the full expression of his deity. And surfed the chasm, no words can fathom how God walked this earth, which is cursed from Adam. No question that you're GOD, but you laid aside the full expression of your deity. And surfed the chasm, no words can fathom how you walked this wicked earth.
He was falsely condemned by Jews and filthy pagans. Now the cross, the peak of his humiliation. No discussion, surely best remove him. He got the most disgusting form of execution. He who sits upon the throne and rules was kicked and stomped and spit upon by Roman fools. Despised by Israel, tried by sinful souls, but was silent when struck by violent imbeciles. And Jesus was able to call down legions of angels, but he was too faithful, gracious and patient with him. Yet he was hated and forsaken by men like Jews. They hated his soul. Judas betrayed him for gold. When it was tough, his crew was afraid, so they rolled.
suckers, they murked him. This suffering servant was beat up and looked like he was cut by a surgeon. Slaughtered, bleeding, gushing, oozing blood. The father pleased to crush him whom he loved. So he probably didn't even feel the crown and nails. He had to suffer more than that to bring down the veil. Our eyes are haughty and our lives are naughty. The Holy Christ bore our sins inside his body. Yeah, his veins they burst, but no one's pain was worse. Cause the one who made the earth became a curse. And he was one with the Father's essence. Put on the cross, the God of heaven cut off his presence. So I can't share any language that can rightly describe the Christ's despair and his anguish. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. He who had infinite joy and pleasure became a man of sorrow so we can join forever. He took a cosmic plunge, put on some lungs. On the cross he came to God a sponge to soak up his wrath so the wicked wouldn't be sifted and blown into chaff.
That was the humility of Christ by Timothy Brindle. Him and Shannon are on the record label called Lampmode, and see them at lampmode.com. And next one I'm going to do, got to play something from, this one is from Wretched TV show, and it's the audio from it. This says, one more reason you can trust the Bible, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
What you're seeing here are all of the details of what was inside of that big tabernacle. You've got your outer courtyard, an altar of burnt offerings. There was a bronze laver for washing, purification. There was a table of showbread, then in the holy place, a golden lampstand, because otherwise you couldn't see what you were doing. You needed light to do your atoning work. You'll see an altar of incense. Speaks of intercession, the smoke rising to God's nostrils, our prayers rising to God. And then there would be a tent inside of the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant would sit. This is where the high priest would go in through the tent. He would take blood, and it would be sprinkled on the mercy seat for the atoning of the sins of the people. That is the Old Testament tabernacle. The book of Hebrews comes along and says, yeah, that was actual. That really existed. But silly rabbit, it's just a picture of the better, the fulfillment in the one who tabernacled among us, Jesus. What you're about to see is Joel Shorey, who memorized the entire book, 13 chapters of Hebrews. This is chapter 9.
Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship and an earthly place of holiness. For a tent was prepared. The first section, in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence, it is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places. Not by the means of the blood of bulls and goats, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes from a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses, he took the blood of bulls and goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Amen. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sins, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him.
Not convinced that the Bible is supernatural yet? God is orchestrating everything and detailing everything. Perhaps from the dinosaur movie, whatever that was, Jurassic Park. Jeff Goldblum, if I blow a butterfly and he flies this way, it affects the events in Japan. Is that true? Yeah, but that might be a good observation, but that does not explain how or why those things happen. Jeff Goldblum spouting something called synchronicity. If I turn like this, it's going to make the wind blow like that, which could cause the butterfly to go like this, which will make somebody go like that. It affects all kinds of things. Well, it does indeed do that. But the question is, do they happen synchronicitously, randomly, just kind of bouncing all over because of natural law or just circumstance? Or does my Bible tell me, God is in control? And if I go like this with the butterfly versus like that with the butterfly, guess what? He providentially was determining that that was going to happen. Now, did he cause my head to turn this way when I wanted to go that way or vice versa? The answer is, I don't know. I think overall, he just kind of lets us do our thing, providentially designing everything that he wants and occasionally getting involved in our noggins. I don't know. I don't care. But I still can say God orchestrates everything. And if that's the case, that God is orchestrating everything, does that mean that God is orchestrating the bad things too? Let's take a look at the difference between evil that God allows and hard things, tragedies, difficult things, painful things that God causes. God never causes evil, ever, but God does cause calamity or tragedy or hardship. The Bible, even in the book of Habakkuk, lists a lot of the things that God is causing that are difficult and painful for us, but he is behind them. He is the author of the weather. A tornado comes? God. Crops, they grow, they fail? God. You get a job, you get fired? God. Health, life, all of these things, God is the author. And those things that are hard for us are not sinful things. Now, this is difficult, especially if you have a fresh wound in mind right now. is God's taking of the life of a younger person evil? The answer to that is no, it's not. Is God to be accused for not getting involved with the death of a child? No, he is not. We can actually say, now I know this is hard, you are the giver of life, you are the taker of life, just like Job said. Remember, Job's family got obliterated, wiped out, and you say, well, that was the devil. Whose devil is it? It's God's devil, given permission by God. He is on as long a leash as God gives to him. So a child dying is not to be an accusation against God. We can say the Lord gives, like Job did, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because God, doing things to you that are not sinful, are calamitous, they are difficult, but they're not sinful, they're not evil. Let's try this scenario. If I drove home tonight and my house collapsed, everything is gone. My wife and children, they were out at Chick-fil-A because that's where you go when you're Christians and you live in the South, and I don't want to imagine that happening. My house is gone. Was it a sin for God to take away my home? No, it's his house. He can do whatever he wants to do. I can look at certain events, and I am inclined to go, that was wrong for that to happen. But God says, it's not wrong. I will do whatever I want with anybody that I want, and it might be hard for you, but it is for my glory and for your good if you are in Christ, and it is not evil. What would be an evil that God would not be responsible for? Murder, rape, an embezzlement. God doesn't cause people to sin, but he uses sin sinlessly. So if you are a Christian and something even evil happens to you, you can say, Lord, I don't like this, and this is truly evil, but you permitted it, so it must be ultimately for my good. Understanding the difference between calamity and evil, hardship, evil, tragedy, evil will help us receive both things rightly from the hand of the Lord.
Once again, that's from Wretched. You can check out Wretched at Wretched TV. WretchedRadio.com, and then I'll make sure Wretched TV, I think it's that one, or Wretched.TV. Let's try it. Either way, also remember that you can find us at TruthBeToldRadio.com. Yeah, it's Wretched.TV, and then that's how you get to, well, it's also Wretched Radio. You can go to WretchedRadio.com. Today I have both half-hour TV show and then 2-hour radio show about. And let's see, what I'm going to do for you now is I am going to play a song. This one is called, it's the Bible Book Bop here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Bye. your mom and pop, so do the Bible bump, bop, bop, bop.
Come on!
Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. We made it through the old, now let's move on to the new and see what we can find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and Corinthians.
1 and 2.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians.
1 and 2.
1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Hebrew, James, 1 and 2 Peter, and John.
1, 2, 3. And don't forget to
do the Bible book.
Once again, that was Go Fish singing the Bible book. If you want to find out more about them, go to gofishguys.com, GOFISHGUIS.com. And next to them, change it to more of Reformed rap. This is a God's servant called Look Ye Saints from the album Diadem here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Rise to always back from the mainland. Yo, it's the great I am, it's the slain lamb. Yo, think of clear view with biblical binoculars. Yo, it's the root of David, come see this conqueror. Yo, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, iron ruler. He's the awesome king, the just and righteous doer. From the throne is coming lightning, till the thunder rumbling from before the Lord God Almighty. Yo, you can see us after seeing as we admire Messiah, just like us in the days of King Uzziah. Yeah, taking the building from the voices of the choir. The house was filled with smoke, it was dope how they cried. Above them stood the seraphim and angelic huddle up. With two wings fly, the others used to cover up. Screaming, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is filled up with the glory that is yours.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords.
Angels, preachers, the people, we are all here. Giving our worship to the one thing we all fear. You're looking here around the throne, this mass is shouting. Numbering in myriads of myriads of thousands. From every creature in heaven, on and under the earth, all day and night, they never cease but celebrate his worth. And I know this might surprise you, but the center of our anthem is how he's gathered up a people he has ransomed. How marvelous the God that they had ran from was spill his blood to pay for everything that they had done. Behold the riches he provides them with. He made the sinless one to be sin so they could be his righteousness. The old earth is groaning, longing for its sequel, as it awaits the full redemption of the sheepfold. And he has rescued them from evil. He will be their God, and they will be his people.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords. King of kings and Lord of lords.
Now look up, look and see the sight of glory, God. To see the man of sorrows now. From the and from the fight return to glory, God. And every knee to him a bow. Look up, look and see the sight of who we got. To see the man of sorrows.
down. And from the fight return to glory, and every need of him abound.
The detestable and that wicked beat, I found tears and them crooks. I thrown in the lake of fire, if the names ain't in this book. But why the time they can be added, if they only place they face it. The only other name under heaven given to safe it. That of the crucified, king of glory, who in all his judgments are unsearchable. And the ways cannot be scrutinized, soon he's coming back. Send your life to spread his favor, keep yourself in his love as you eagerly await him.
Crown him, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yeah. The other day, this guy was like, yo, man, what's good with all that theology? Give us something practical. And I was like, word? Okay, check this out.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finding sense,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing
the hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finding sense,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union,
yeah. A topic of discussion is beyond human comprehension. The infinite God has made a super condescension. The condescension nobody could have anticipated. Precipitated by the evil we participated in. Through Adam and Eve, our first kin. Cursed when they committed the first sin. Only if you have the Holy Spirit's antennas can you truly understand fallen man's dilemma. See, only a human can substitute for human lives. But only God can take the wrath of God and survive. Yeah. See the humanly unsolvable obstacle? With God, all is plausible. Nothing's impossible. True haters are fighting, but the story is certain.
Yeah.
Two natures united in one glorious person. Jesus, the God-man, official soul reaper. The hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deeper when you keep your finding sense.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deeper when you keep your finding sense.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%.
Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of God, 100% divinity.
Yeah,
self-existent, second person of the Trinity. Magisterial, imperial at the helm. Infinitely transcending this material realm.
Yeah,
he's so original, getting to know him is pivotal. Behold the invincible, prototypical, holy principle.
Yeah,
possessor of all divine attributes. The omnis, wisdom, grace, beauty, love, wrath, and truth. He's the one that all creation was made through.
Yeah.
And by him, the earth's foundation was laid too.
Yeah.
As the angels, they saw it on pay-per-view. Created Satan too. Matter of fact, he created you.
True.
And nothing can escape Jesus' sovereign rule. From the farthest galaxy to the smallest molecule. So who deserves to gain fame?
Who?
By the word of its power, the universe is maintained. In other words, put the cosmos back on the shelf. Without Christ, reality would collapse on itself.
Yeah.
Jesus, the marvelous author of all consciousness. Beyond what the sharpest biologist acknowledges. He needs no archaeologist or smart apologist. He sees our hearts, omnipresent cardiologist. Master of logic, macrocosmic novelist. Following any other god is just preposterous. Yeah, Selah. Let's just let that sink in for a second. Yeah,
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finding sense,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finding sense,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%,
yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of Man, 100% humanity.
Yeah.
The mind stretches to understand how can it be. You gotta see what he does, becoming what he was, and while never ceasing to be what he was. Is your mind flipping?
Yeah, that got you tripping,
me too. But the scripture is true, Philippians 2. By faith we believe this amazing Jesus, who made Uranus and Venus, became a fetus. It's such a secret that few, if anybody, knew it. Months later, he's covered in amniotic fluid. The subject of the gospel, praise of apostles, armed with eye sockets, armpits, and nostrils. Who is this Jesus? God clothed in human weakness, super sweetness and peace for the true believers. See the one who never tires, knocked out sleeping. See the source of eternal joy weeping. Which one can explain how the Son, abundant with fame, who made thunder and rain, now has hunger pain?
Huh?
See the creator of water become thirsty on the cross when he saved from the slaughter the unworthy. My awe should be sky high, and I ought to just cry wide with water in my eyes when the author of life dies. Raised on the third, God-man, soul seeker, the hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finest sense,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your finest sense,
yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%, yeah. Fully divine, fully human, introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we do it, man. Lyrical theology.
Word up.
Spiritual analogies.
The hypostatic union.
Shout out to my man Direct.
Yeah.
Good luck, y'all. What up, Canada? Yeah.
That was a hypostatic union here on Truth Be Told Radio. And what got next is called Taste and See here on Truth Be Told Radio by Shylon.
Let's go, S.O.
Land move, yeah. Call strong. Glory to God, yeah. God alone,
yeah.
Solely,
solely.
Deo,
Deo.
Gloria,
Gloria.
Here we go,
yeah.
If you taste it and see, then you know what I mean.
Why should we be subliminal? When it comes to goodness, our God is at the pinnacle. If God is approving it, then it's good. That's the principle. Humanity is minimal. The Lord is the original. Fountain of benevolence. Boundless in measurement. Abounding in blessedness. There's mountains of evidence. Found in the testaments. Resounding these sentiments. We drown in his benefits from town to the settlement. His goodness expressed in the natural and physical. From rocks to minerals. To toxic chemicals. Stop being cynical. Not trying to be traditional. But God is good.
All the time.
No intervals. Our doubt is a testament. Clown what he represents. His smile towards the penitent. Endowed us with medicine. Now that we've been convinced, we shout without hesitance. Crown his excellency now and forever, friend.
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, 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 okay.
If you taste it and seen, then you know what I mean.
He's good. His nature is love, everything that he does. He's good. Even when it gets tough, yes, the Lord is enough. He's good. Yes, God makes it plain to the Lamb who is slain. He's good.
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah. Okay.
Understand God is good apart from anything he's done for me. Yet and still his goodness has blessed me abundantly. I try to give a summary, beginning with his love for me. Intending Christ to die, yes, the blood of Jesus covers me. Our years he can make him new, our fears he's awakened to. He hears when we're praying and he's there when the payment's due. His spirit enables you to fear him and praise him through. The tears we can say is true, he's near when we're breaking through. Whether we are suffering or living in luxury, his works toward his people are all done lovingly. They're never done stubbornly and with a hidden treasury. Every single sunrise provides a new discovery.
Yes.
It's clear what he came to do. Seers like Isaiah knew. He'd appear as a baby who was reared as a faithful Jew. And appeared for a shady crew. Appeared in the faintest view. So here's what we're made to do. Revere him to praise his due.
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, 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 okay.
You taste it and seen, then you know what I mean.
The goodness of God can be seen in his provision. In each of his decisions, yeah. He's leaving the inscription, yeah.
That is needless and grievous just to keep him in division. It's cool to know his goodness never changes. It's immutable. It's true when we can't explain this. He's inscrutable and we are not delusional. These facts are indisputable. I know it sounds unusual. I'll show you how it's provable. Adam and Eve had freedom with one restriction. Satan deceived them from Eden, received addiction. To leave us in the easy condition, which leads the addictions. But Jesus' afflictions freeze those believing he's risen.
God's goodness seen at the cross, irrefutable. On his gospel truth, we will stand immovable. And glorify God for his goodness is suitable. Just because it's a duty, no. Just because he's beautiful. Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
him there is none. Try on holy three in one. When all is said and done, God is amazing, amazing. His power cannot be compared. Exhaustive knowledge none can share. At all times, everywhere, God is amazing, amazing.
Infinite, universal, self-evident. His prince is the newest purple. Rain suspended and glistening, beauty circles. Uninhibited through his spirit, a new reversal. No rehearsal, yeah, it's a paradox. But God's omnipotence isn't hidden behind a mega rock. That he couldn't lift, these critics better stop. New internal physics exhibits, he made the petawatt. This sun energy, atoms within a laser. Atom needed an angle, Jesus became the center plot. Now that could be geometrically a cinema. Descartes or DeMille, emphasis on the metaphor. Or metaphor, you get the picture. But consider the depiction of his power. Is it fiction? Does it take prophetic vision or religion to envision? Philosophical, spigoty, speculative admission. Nah, he's God anyway. We'll never break his code to regenerate, then create. In the face of death, incomprehensive race, meditate, venerate. This deity speaking degrees centigrade. Now that's cold, ain't it? Better than Joe, name it. God delivers on his promise. You could quote Jacob. Omnipotence, omnibenevolence, power, preeminence, bow to his excellence.
There is none, triune, holy, three in one. When all is said and done, God is amazing, amazing. His power cannot be compared. Exhaustive knowledge none can share. At all times, everywhere, God is amazing, amazing.
Understanding that fastens the sun to vanish and fashion the other planets, imagine it from his vantage. Inhabitants under famines, having a stomach famished, he's not missing. If it's happening, it was managed with God's vision. His non-ending cognition called omniscience is harassing the underhanded. He sees into the plight, a view of each conscience, and reads into the mind, perusing each thought. When even dudes that lie then move to keep cautious, heed to ruthless crimes they do, then he hearkens. Peeking through the blinds of fools and departments, where evildoers hide in gloom and deep darkness. He knows the future. We see the point in certain sense. All things happen by his pre-appointed purposes. Even on the earth was his knowledge so impassable. We see Jesus knowing both the possible and actual. Whether boasting in sin or holding it in, he'll expose in the end, cause hearts are open to him. This theme's addressed in God's word. Observe Proverbs 15:11. Though he knows innocence, the vast and the minutia, he chose an affliction that evidenced true love. Witness omniscience, wrath fell on his true son. Being crushed for sins, past, present, and future. Future, 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 future.
There is none, triune, holy, three in one. When all is said and done, God is amazing, amazing. His power cannot be compared. Exhaustive knowledge none can share. At all times, everywhere, God is amazing, amazing.
Real treasure and worth. Answer, the Lord who fills heaven and earth. God in his essence is infinite, transcendent, unlimited, exhibited in omnipresence. All things before his eyes are laid bare, as he governs the earth and skies with great care. There's not one sector or section that's undetected or left unaffected by his perfection. So I don't even need to smell the marijuana stench to know my God is deeper than the Mariana Trench. The calculation is 36,000 feet below sea level, about 7 miles deep. If you got to the
bottom without imploding from the weight. God would be waiting there saying, yo man, you're late. In the farthest galaxies, my God has the glory. Cause distance for God is a non-category. Amazingly, God is able to be in Haiti and Greece, Jamaica and Sweden, Barbados, New Zealand, Lithuania, Egypt, Malaysia, Tunisia, and the Arabian Sea simultaneously. Before him, everything is naked and exposed. That means there will be no escape before his foes. God's presence and his wrath will torment the sinner in hell. For those who trust Christ, with them he will dwell forever, 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 forever.
Father, Son, Spirit, Lord, when we consider your nature, our minds are blown because you're incomprehensible, but we thank you for revealing yourself.
All praise to the Trinity, one nature, three persons, mystery of divinity. All praise to the Trinity, 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 Trinity. Yeah, all praise to the Trinity. The same in your essence, distinct in your ministry. I'll stand amazed for the rest of my day, pouring out my heart in triune praise.
Yeah. Praise God the Father, the immortal creator. For your glory you made us, you're the sovereign orchestrator. All that you decree will most surely come to happen. You're awesome as can be, and your glory none can fathom. Nothing could ever stain you, the heavens can't contain you. We thank you for sending your Son to explain you. Otherwise we would have remained in the dark, but you sent your Holy Spirit to spark a change in our hearts. According to your eternal purpose and will, you determined to reveal yourself to those who deserve to be killed. Those of us whom you foreknew adore you. We praise you that you destined us to be conformed to the image of your Son, who's the radiance of your glory. When I meditate on it, the weightiness of it floors me. So Father, we'll praise you over and over again, because you sent your only Son to atone for our sin. Yeah.
All praise to the Trinity, one nature, three persons, mystery of divinity. All praise to the Trinity, 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 Trinity. Yeah. All praise to the Trinity. The same in your essence, distinct in your ministry. I'll stand amazed for the rest of my day, pouring out my heart in triune praise.
Yeah. Praise God the Son, second person of the Trinity. You're distinct from the Father, yet you share in his divinity. Fulfilling an eternal covenant, you came through the planet Earth to save who? All the Father gave you. You became a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Put the glory of your Father, you extinguished the beast that stood between us at the cross, the Father's anger relief. The shepherd slain for the sheep, the situation is deep. Can't find the right language to speak. In fact, it's making me weak. Just the thought of you saving this creep. You're risen from the dead, I still can't get this in my head. How the judge can leave the bench and go to prison instead. Lord Jesus, you're amazing. Your bleeding is what saved me. It's the reason why we're praising. Can't wait to see your face in the meantime. Please help us to see you as colossal, and by the Spirit live lives that's worthy of the gospel.
All praise to the Trinity, one nature, three persons, mystery of divinity. All praise to the Trinity, 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 Trinity. Yeah, all praise to the Trinity. The same in your essence, distinct in your ministry. I'll stand amazed for the rest of my day, pouring out my heart in triune praise.
Yeah. Praise God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. Distinct from Father and Son, yet sharing their divinity. Holy Spirit, we praise you. You don't like the spotlight. You'd rather point away from yourself and give props to Christ. And yet, because you're God, you deserve veneration. And you're the one responsible for our regeneration. You apply the finished work of Christ to all the elect. Your call is effectual. You haven't lost one yet. You comfort us with sin and Satan and the world. God is bothered. And it's only by you that we cry out, Abba Father. You're the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of truth. You graciously provide your people with the gifts and the fruit. You help us kill sin and disattach us from our idols. If it wasn't for you, we'd never understand the Bible, cause you wrote it for our life. It will surely suffice. Amazingly, you do it all for the glory of Christ. Yeah.
All praise to the Trinity, one nature, three persons, mystery of divinity. All praise to the Trinity, 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 Trinity. Yeah. All praise to the Trinity. The same in your essence, distinct in your ministry. I'll stand amazed for the rest of my day, pouring out my heart in triune praise.
That was Triune Praise by Shylin. And before that, there was The Omnis and also Taste and See by Shylin. Here's one that's one of my favorite to play here on Trippy Toll Radio and even to listen to. It's Shylin, the one called Penelope Judd, here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog, he'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're going to see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away. Your turn, your turn.
Off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're going to see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
off I go with no delay. And ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king. I'm on my way. And all the old things going to pass away. Your turn.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so
without coming near her. He reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The polish was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said, you can let her in. The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
long ago, laid aside my crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn.
Long
your turn.
Ago, laid aside his crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to our town.
Oh, he's so adorable. He's got your eyes, honey.
Oh.
Come on, watch a mommy, Trevor. Come on.
Here you go. Look, honey, he's doing it.
I see him. Come here, big guy.
Well, we got to keep working on it. Come on, Trevor.
You do it, son. Keep your eye on the ball.
Hit a home run.
Now, coming up on the stoplight. Now, don't forget your brakes, son. Son?
Do you, Trevor, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
I'm gonna see him grow up.